Good evening, everybody, and thank you for coming to this public input session this evening. My name is Bob Clancher. I currently serve as a member of the Loudoun County Planning Commission, and the Board of Supervisors has put together this task force to study a variety of housing policies and how our existing programs are working. I am joined by other members of the Housing Stakeholders Group. And rather than you having to listen to me, I'm going to ask everyone on the panel to introduce themselves and give a brief explanation of their involvement with the county, why they're here, and what they do for their day job, so that you get a better understanding of where we all come from. So let's start down here with Mr. McWaters.
Oh, thank you. My name is Dave McWaters. I was on the ADU board for 12 years and the Board of Supervisors for four. I've been a real estate broker for 37 years, and one of my primary interests is affordable housing.
Hi, my name is Allison Metzger, and I'm fairly new to Loudoun County. I've been here just about a year. Also a real estate agent in the area, and this year alone, I've helped about 12 ADU buyers and sellers find properties in the county, and I look forward to helping more find housing that fits their needs.
Hi, I'm Steve Schulte. I'm on the ADU board, and I also work for the Brambleton Development.
Hello, I'm Ryan Sauter. I've served on the ADWAB for approximately 8.5 years as the program participant.
Hi, I'm Dwight Sternrook, and I'm an architect in town. I've been on ADWAB since 2005 and have worked on projects in Loudoun County and Fairfax County.
Good evening. My name is Pamela McGraw, and I'm currently co-chair of ADWAB, where I have served for 8 years, and I'm also previously a volunteer for a nonprofit affordable housing developer here in Loudoun County for 10 years.
Hi, good evening. Sean Kelly. I'm also on ADWAB for the past 3 years, almost 4 years, and I work at PNC Bank in Tysons Corner.
Good evening. My name is Suzanne Volpe, and I'm the Algonquian District Supervisor. And for a lack of better reason, I guess I'm the reason we're here tonight, because I put this initiative forward and previously served on the Planning Commission and have great concern for us to have a strong, positive, effective, housing program. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Helena Siska, and I currently serve as the Vice Chairman of the Planning Commission, and I also represent the Sterling District. I'm here on this committee to look at our housing needs, and being on a member of the Sterling District, that is something that is very important to us. I'm also a STEM middle school teacher. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Christine Wendell. I'm the Director of Governmental Affairs and Communications with the Dulles Area Association of Realtors, where we focus on affordable housing issues on behalf of 1,000 real estate agents in Loudoun County. I'm also the Vice Chair of the Loudoun County Housing Advisory Board and a current resident of the Blue Ridge District.
Hi, I'm Jim Anders. I'm with Winchester Homes. I'm a past member of the Housing Advisory Board and currently a member of the Affordable Dwelling Unit Advisory Board.
Hi, my name is Rich Klusek. I am the Loudoun County Planning Department representative on ADWAB.
Hi there, my name is Teresa Whitmore. I've been a Loudoun County resident for over 40 years. I served 12 years on Loudoun County Planning Commission previously, including during 1993 when the original Affordable Dwelling Unit Ordinance was written, and currently I work as a community association manager, and I'm interested in some of the ways that the affordable dwelling units affect associations.
Good evening. My name is Dawn Billow, and I am one of the co-chairs for the ADU program. I'm also a local real estate broker with the Greater Washington Area Realty, and I've helped several ADU buyers with the home ownership program.
Good evening. My name is Esther Price Johnson. I'm 70 years old, and I am a ADU rental participant. And I'm just here to try to do what I can. Thank you.
Hi, my name's John Mosgrove. I work for J2 Engineers, and I am the civil engineering representative of the ADWAB.
Okay, my name is Bob Clancher. I currently serve as the chairman of the Loudoun County Planning Commission, and I represent the Ashburn District. I'm in my 10th year on the Planning Commission, and have spent a fair amount of that time looking at a variety of residential applications where the inclusion of affordable dwelling units are always something that we look for and have been looking to implement it and make the program more effective. When this opportunity arose, look forward to continuing to make these programs more effective and serve more members of our community. In personal life, I'm a practicing architect with a firm in D.C. Before we get started, I want to provide some background on the stakeholders group. The Housing Stakeholders Group was established by the Board of Supervisors for the purpose of reviewing the county's affordable housing needs, policies, and programs. Members of the group represent a wide range of background and expertise regarding affordable housing in the county. The board is looking for advice and recommendations from us on the existing housing policies and programs to determine their sustainability, viability, and efficiency. Just side note, if everybody could kill their cell phones, thank you. We began meeting as a group last month and will continue to meet on a biweekly basis through the beginning of next year. Up to this point, the group has focused mainly on learning from county staff the many policies and programs that are in place to achieve affordable housing in the county. Our next steps are to identify issues and concerns and use what we learn to develop specific recommendations that we will take back to the Board of Supervisors. For over two decades, the county has recognized the importance of affordable housing in the community, and several programs are in place toward this goal, including the Affordable Dwelling Unit Program. Many of you here tonight likely have been directly involved with some of these initiatives, and we very much would like to hear about your experiences and ideas on how to improve these programs. The timeline for our group to complete its task is accelerated with the board requesting our recommendations in February. All comments we receive tonight will be used to help inform the group as we develop our final recommendations. The procedures for tonight are as follows. Each of you will be given up to 3 minutes to highlight issues that are important to you as they relate to affordable housing and your experiences with existing county policies and programs. When it is your turn to speak, please state your name and your organization, if appropriate, for the public record. To help keep track of time, we will be using a timer which is located on each podium. The light will remain green for the first 2 minutes and then turn orange when there is 1 minute left to comment. And there is also a counter on there so you know exactly how much time you have remaining. This procedure will allow everyone to speak that wishes to. Both podiums are available for speakers, so feel free to use either one, and we will be alternating between the two podiums. If after speaking this evening you would like to provide additional written comments, please feel free to see Eileen, who is sitting up there at the end of the dais, who will provide additional contact information. If you've not yet done so and would like to speak, please fill out a speaker slip, which is on that table right at the end, and the speaker slips will be brought up here. Again, on behalf of the whole stakeholders group, thank you very much for coming out tonight, and we look forward to hearing what everybody has to say. Our first speaker tonight is Abdella Benyones. I hope I pronounced your name right, to be followed by Marquise Malone. Come on up, either one.
Good evening. I'm Abdella Benyones. I'm coming from North Africa. I came to the United States in Loudoun County 5 years ago, and I came to know the ADU program, but I have some concern that I would like to explain to you. Among the specification to be eligible for the ADU program, there's one specification that gives me concern. It's the one related to not having a home for the last 3 years anywhere. in America or abroad. The country I'm coming from, not to name it, it's Algeria, we are not allowed to exchange the local currency into hard currency. It means even if I sell the home that I have in my country, I would not be authorized to export the product of the sale to America to help me get a house here. So in a few words, I'm a little bit trapped. In a way, I cannot sell the house and export the money to here. And on the other side, here, the only house that would be able to purchase is an ADU program, because we came over here, I was 60, my wife 55, and we have two kids in college now. And without this possibility, I think that having a house is just a dream. So this is what I wanted to draw your attention on, and I can give more details on writing if necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Benyones.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Our next speaker is Marquise Malone, to be followed by Nicole De Lima.
Hi, everyone. How y'all doing? Well, first, I want to say that I am a housing recipient, and I live in Loudoun County. Of course I do. But I want to say that the housing choice voucher is like a jewel. So if anything, like my grandmother, she will hold on to her jewels. It's a great thing to have, and I think that I have a list of things here. I'm not a good presentation person, but but I could tell you, I could tell you, I've done a wonderful job the last 8 years that I've been on the program, and here in Loudoun County, I have two kids, one that's in Tennessee, in college, and I have another one that got accepted to PVI, Paul the Sixth Catholic School. So here's what I'm outlined, what I feel. That might can use some work on in the program. Coming out of temporary housing, I stayed in a shelter for 2 years. And coming into Loudoun County from Fairfax County, out of that program, I really didn't know all the ins and outs, but I can tell you I had to come up with like a lot of money, like $4,000 or $5,000 to get into a place. And I didn't even know the obstacles that I was gonna hit once I paid that $4,000. And coming out, you want your kids to be successful. You want to be successful. So I found that I spent like $400 on science and art programs, because Loudoun County is all about science and art. And I love that. I mean, it's, you know, hurrah, because that's what made my kids successful. But then there was prep programs that I had to get them set for volunteering, like with library or schools or whatever, hospitals. And to prep your kid, you may need to spend a little more money for those programs. I think the SAT preps were like $599. I can't remember what the name of the actual program cost. But you don't want to just be successful with landing on a house when you come out the temporary housing. You want to be a part of Loudoun County and their community. So these are things that add up, and I'm looking into. I don't know how we can do it. We're going to do it. But I'm just naming a few things that I had to reach out and get resources for to help my kids be good, I don't know, kids in Loudoun County, I guess, you know. Because one works at the library, she volunteer works, and the other one works at Dulles South, and she's an instructor for kids. So I had to reach out of Loudoun County to get that help so she could travel and see how to do, what is it? I can't remember what it's called, execute summary, like business, you know, opportunities. So anyway, moving on to the next. So we have to save money needed for transitioning kids. And, okay. There's a program you all offer, and I just don't know the top of it by my head, because I didn't get in the program, and I wish I could have, because I also went to school 5 years since I've been here, and I attend Northern Virginia Community College, George Mason, and Strayer, and the University of Maryland. That's where I'm at now. So in my 5 years going to school, I was trying to get into this program where I could get allotment come out so that when my increase of employment came in hand, where I get more money, that I can buy my own place, you know, like, or have enough to be stable. Because you also have to take into effect, consideration the kids that you have. Some kids have IEPs. Mine had a blood disorder and an IEP. And that was one of the reasons why I got on the program, you know, because I'm a single parent coming from abuse or anything that could hinder you from growing in life or your kids growing in life, then we need to approach those things and tackle them. Like, we can't just leave them hanging, because then we can't be a person in the community working together. So they work hand in hand. And so I got a lot over my head, because I got a job, I go to school, I got kids, and I'm trying to bring up and do the right thing. So maybe some assistance with disability on learning curves, growth, IEP, and Loudon. Let me see. So,
thank you, Ms. Malone.
Oh, am I done?
Yeah.
Hey,
but I see you have a whole list of things there.
I do.
maybe you could give that list to our staff.
I can actually why don't I put a PowerPoint together, make it pretty, and give it to her? Because I think that way you can see my outline better. I do better with school with that, so I'm sure I can do that for you, for
okay.
You guys.
That's great. We'd appreciate it and look forward to receiving it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Malone.
You're welcome.
Our next speaker this evening is Nicole DeLima, to be followed by Brian Falls. Nicole, are you here? Okay. Brian Falls, to be followed by Vernon Wong.
Okay, is this on? Thank you. Good evening, Chairman Clancher, Supervisor Volpe, members of the task force. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. My name is Brian Falls, and I am the Government Affairs Manager of the Loudoun County Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to give a little bit different perspective here tonight, not so much talking about identified problems in the program, but some ideas that we've had for improving the programs that we hope that you will keep in mind as you go forward and listen to the comments of other members of the public, and maybe some of these will spark some ideas. The Loudoun Chamber and the Loudoun business community have long understood that there is an inseparable link between workforce housing and a community's economic and social well-being. And without a sufficient supply of workforce housing, employers and our entire economy is at a competitive disadvantage because of difficulties attracting and retaining workers. In addition, the lack of a local workforce housing leads to longer commutes, sprawl, and traffic congestion, which ultimately lessens the quality of life for Loudoun County residents. Loudoun is usually considered a very wealthy county, but the reality is that incomes that would be considered high in any other zip codes don't always cut it here. So the challenge for the task force is not only to create affordable housing opportunities for low-income individuals, but also to create housing that is affordable for people with higher incomes who still can't buy very much. I'm not going to go through all the recommendations. I will leave my written testimony with Eileen, but some of the recommendations that we would hope you would consider are supporting the conclusions and recommendations of the Housing Advisory Board, including adequate maintenance and investment in a single local housing trust fund, promoting the use of county-owned vacant or underutilized land and or assets to be used or exchanged for the creation of affordable housing units or mixed-use developments that include affordable housing, adopting higher densities in appropriate locations to enable a greater number of overall housing products at all price points, including affordable dwelling units, to be available for sale or rental, using the Economic Development Authority to investigate alternative project solutions, attract nonprofit developers, provide financing alternatives for potential projects, and potentially acting as a housing authority, reducing capital facilities fees, which inflate the cost of housing, and researching the viability of creating a separate housing and community development department to increase the visibility, prioritization, and effectiveness of Loudoun County's housing opportunities programs. We believe these solutions, if incorporated into a wide-ranging plan of urban, suburban, and rural housing choices, would give potential renters and home buyers the financial and giving them the financial tools to make these choices affordable, will ensure Loudoun County's housing future. We thank you again for the opportunity to speak tonight and for the consideration of our recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Falls, and we look forward to receiving the full text of your comments. Next speaker is Vernon Wong, to be followed by Doris Ray.
Good evening. I am Vernon Wong. From my perspective as a senior citizen living in Loudoun County and as president of the Dulles South Senior Advisory Board, these are my general observations regarding housing in this county. First, I am heartened that this stakeholder group has undertaken this effort to systematically address housing issues. However, hopefully your process will carefully review housing issues to determine the shortcomings, establish goals, and develop plans for solutions. My purpose here tonight is simply to direct attention towards the need for more senior citizen housing, ADU and otherwise. The fast-growing population of seniors in Loudoun make this a priority. While there is great emphasis and growth in housing for young families, we also need additional independent and assisted living housing for seniors to provide the environment, accessibility, and affordability suitable for our aging, less mobile citizens. Loudoun County must be livable and welcoming to all age groups with facilities and services for all. We need more communities like Leisure World, Ashby Ponds, and Potomac Greens. We especially need more multifamily senior apartments like Wingler House. Unfortunately, the free market by itself does not likely provide a good balance for meeting the needs of all segments of the population. As an example, which perplexes me, and with due respect to Mr. Schulte, but in spite of the growing need for senior housing, the Brambleton development is now planning to reduce its commitment for yet-to-be-built senior community from 1,500 down to 500 units. Perhaps there are valid business reasons for that, but we should focus on the overall community needs and plans as well. I ask the stakeholder group to develop a roadmap and incentives to address these shortfalls. Your planning and joint efforts with the housing industry can make a difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. Our next speaker is Doris Ray, to be followed by Wendy Taylor.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the task force. My name is Doris Ray, and I am the Director of Advocacy and Outreach for the Independent Center of Northern Virginia, and I'm here to represent them and our satellite program here in Loudoun, Loudoun Independent Center, and the disability communities that we serve. We would like to associate ourselves with the Chamber's testimony regarding tools that you could use, firstly, and with the gentleman who preceded me. Secondly, we would like you to take into consideration the following regarding persons with disabilities in Loudoun County. Please take into account the needs of persons with disabilities, those who are in the community and are coming into the community because of opportunities for jobs and because this is a newer community and transportation opportunities are growing, but also those who are in nursing homes or other institutional settings, many of whom are persons of working age, who find themselves in the position of not being able to be in the community because of a lack of accessible housing. Data on this comes from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which we'll provide information for in written testimony. Second, there is a dire need for accessible housing in the community so that people with disabilities and senior adults can remain in their own homes for a lifetime. And we would suggest that you develop incentives, as the Virginia Housing Development Authority has already done, to ensure that there's an adequate supply and an increased priority on affordable, accessible housing units, fully accessible housing units. They do that through the low-income housing tax credit program. We would also ask that you consider rental subsidy priorities for persons with disabilities, and in particular, persons who are trying to transition from nursing homes and other institutions into the community to exercise their Americans with Disabilities rights under the Olmstead decision. And that is something that is incentivized now at the state level by the Money Follows the Person grant program. It is urgent that you act on that so that that program can succeed. Lastly, and we also suggest that you look at the Arlington Housing Grant Program, which has, in addition to serving many people who are low and moderate income, also serves persons with disabilities and senior adults with priorities. Lastly, we want you to look at the and work with the disability community here, Loudoun Independence and the rest of the disability community, to look at homeless shelters and transitional shelter programs to ensure that they are physically accessible and programmatically accessible to all people with disabilities, physical and sensory disabilities and other disabilities. We will be happy to provide a fuller written testimony, and we really thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you, Ms. Ray. And yet we look forward to receiving the full package of testimony. Our next speaker is Wendy Taylor, to be followed by Barbara Ersey. I hope I pronounced it right. Ayers?
Hi, everybody. My name is Wendy Taylor, and I'm the general manager of South Riding Proprietary, which is a large homeowner association down in Dulles South. We have about 6,600 units down there. The ADU program's been seamless for the most part for us. We're at build out, so we probably won't have any more units. But what I'm here to talk a little bit about is a request that while you're looking at this, you look at the piece of giving staff enough resources that there's someone at the other end of the phone when we call with issues to enforce your own covenants. We have some units that have been problematic since 2004 that are in a bit of disrepair, with our only option left to go to judicial foreclosure, which would cost our association upwards of $20,000 non-reimbursable. So what we're looking for is an ability for you to give the staff for Loudoun County the resources that they could come out and help us with the units that have fallen into disrepair. Right now we have seven, three of which are vacant and need repairs. We do have ability to go in and do these repairs, but that's money out of the greater holes pocketbook that we're never going to get back. So that piece of it, of ability to foreclose, to have the county work with these units, these people are out of there. They're not residents. They've left. We do have units that are being rented out, but they were bought in the program, and we can identify them, and if we could work as a team to address those needs, it would benefit everybody. As I say, there's only seven out of 60 out of all the ADU units we have, so in general it's a wonderful program and we're pleased with it, but I think there's a little hole there that we need to fill in a little bit. And that was it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Our next speaker is Barbara Ayers, be followed by Matthew Galelli.
Good evening. Thank you for this opportunity to offer some public comments, and thank you, Supervisor Volpe, for starting this group. I do not have written testimony available. I am going to submit it later. I unfortunately just learned of this group through the Leesburg Today paper dated the 31st. So I'm happy to come before you and present a personal perspective. I've come to Loudoun County, a beautiful place to live, about 5 years ago. I'm one of those thousands of senior citizens who depend solely on a small Social Security benefit and a very tiny pension. By the grace of God and the compassion of family, that is why I'm here in Loudoun County. They are housing me. I am on the waiting list for Madison House, which has a limited number of apartments. I have very few assets. I do not own real estate. I do not own a car. If I had to live on the market here in Loudoun County, I could sustain myself perhaps a year, maybe two. I consider myself a resident of Loudoun County. I vote here. I bank here. My doctors are here, even though some don't take Medicare. But I want to stay here, and I want to live independently. But I can't do that right now. So I appreciate the testimony of all previous speakers. They have spoken to some real critical issues. I know Loudoun County recognizes the need for more affordable housing. Citizens of Loudoun County commute out to their jobs, but they are Loudoun County citizens. They have the advantage of civic action. Their children go to schools here. On the other hand, those people who are teaching or providing fire services or police, they're commuting in because they can't afford to live here. That's why your perspective and input on this problem would be so helpful. Thank you very much. I will be providing written testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Ayers, and we look forward to receiving your written follow-up. Our next speaker is Matthew Galelli, to be followed by Karen DeVito.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, members of the task force. My name is Matthew Galelli. I'm a retired senior citizen living in western Loudoun County in the Blue Ridge District. The rural end of the county. And I want to address a senior housing need for that particular area of western Loudoun, the rural part of the county. Aging in place has become a common phrase in community services for the aging. It's an option that allows seniors to live at home in their communities instead of being forced to move away to a new and unfamiliar location. However, for a variety of reasons, some seniors must vacate their homes in western Loudoun, but they want to remain in their community with their friends, familiar places, and services. Unfortunately, housing options in western Loudoun are limited due to a lack of housing appropriate for seniors who wish to continue to live independently in their community. While there are assisted living facilities and HUD-subsidized housing is available, a significant population of aging and independent seniors who are encountering disabilities but are ineligible for subsidized housing are forced to compete for existing housing, often unsuccessfully. The result is dislocation from their community with loss of access to local services and friends. This often results in a significant degradation of quality of life for aging seniors who have lived much of their lives in the communities in western Loudoun. I ask that you include in your assessment of Loudoun housing needs a specific section addressing this location and this type of senior housing need. for the independent individuals who are of limited financial means but do not qualify for subsidy. In addition, I ask that you provide information to people like me and my Western Loudoun neighbors so that we can have information and guidance in how we begin a process of bringing this type of housing into Western Loudoun. The need for this type of senior housing is increasing sharply as the baby boomer population reaches retirement age. And we wish to initiate the process now in hopes of avoiding a crisis which forces many of me and my neighbors in Western Loudoun to move out of their community in search of housing. And when I say out of the community, that doesn't necessarily mean out of the county. Being forced to move 25 miles away in the county is still a significant and severe dislocation. And the issue of quality of life, you know, I look around and I notice, and it's always good to notice, that there are folks with white hair like me because we're important. I want to encourage your attention to the folks who are in between. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Galelli. Our next speaker is Karen DeVito, who's representing Catholics for Housing, followed by Kim Hart.
Good evening, Supervisor Volpe, Chairman Glanter. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Karen DeVito. I'm the Executive Director of Catholics for Housing. I bring you a perspective of another affordable housing provider. Catholics for Housing has been is a nonprofit. We are a regional organization. We have been in business since 1979. Catholics for Housing has always worked hard to fulfill its mission, and we've had to reinvent ourselves several times throughout our history. We do that to meet the current needs and the general economic and society changes that happened. We have a direct service programs that help with security deposits. We do a senior rental assistance program. We help about 50 to 55 seniors a year. And our annual subsidy, which keeps these seniors living independently, is on average about the cost of 1 month of living in an assisted living or a nursing home. Catholics for Housing also has developed workforce housing. We worked with the county to define the proffer requirements. We marketed the program, defined the parameters of the program, marketed to the potential buyers, qualified them. We worked with each buyer to ensure that they were ready to become homeowners. When the applicants went to the builder, they were committed to buying. They were pre-approved with their mortgage, and they were ready to go. Our home ownership program created for this project created home ownership opportunities for police officers, fire rescue tech, a DSS caseworker, a parole officer, a school custodian, and 10 school teachers. So we have partnered with Prince William County to make that happen. We are an NSP, Neighborhood Stabilization Program, grantee. We are about to close on our 16th property. We have sold 11. Three are under lease to purchase. We have the 15th property is being rehabbed, and we have a buyer already committed to buy that one. And the 16th property, we've got someone looking at that. One half of our NSP people have incomes less than 50% of the area median income. That is double the requirement of the program. CFH is one of the five grantees of the Commonwealth to be approved for the Virginia Housing Trust rehab money. We have a new program for life skills. We are working with that, and we work with collaboratives. We also own and manage affordable dwelling units, so we meet the requirements of Fairfax County and Arlington County and have worked well with them. Just in closing, affordable housing is a formidable task, and Catholics for Housing has a successful history of almost 35 years of making this happen successfully. So I will leave my information with Eileen. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeVito. We look forward to getting your information. And our next speaker is Kim Hart, representing the Windy Hill Foundation, to be followed by Joe Bowling.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors Volpe, and many of my friends on the stakeholders group, thank you for having me tonight. I'm Kim Hart with the Windy Hill Foundation. Windy Hill's been around working on affordable housing for 32 years now. I've been there 22 of those, 10 as a volunteer president and 12 as executive director. We're the largest developer of rental affordable housing in the county. It's not hard to be the largest when you're the only one, so that's. But we are the only one. Habitat makes housing for ownership, so that's the difference between us, and we share many common goals with them. We have 385 units either constructed or under development, and another 130 in the pipeline. 90% of those or more are in Loudoun County, and none of them are in the ADU program. We might want to talk about that sometime in the future. But in the limited time I have tonight, I just want to put five questions on the table for you guys to think about for your agenda. First, and absolutely the most important, if you don't do anything else, please do this one. How much affordable workforce housing is needed in Loudoun County? If we could agree on that, then we know what to tackle. How much is needed for charity, for the elderly, the disabled, for those that still live here in outhouses? How many units do we need for economic development to grab our fair share of those jobs that Stephen Fuller says are coming our way and we may not get if we don't have it? How many units do we need to meet the targets that the Department of Economic Development is trying to get for businesses to come here? How many do we need to reduce traffic congestion, so by reducing commuters to make them residents? How many units do we need for quality of life, so our teachers can live locally? Perhaps you could ask Dr. Hattrick that question. How many do we need for police, sheriff, and rescue workers that we'd like to live here, so if there's an emergency, they'd be here rather than not being able to commute here? And how many government workers should live here? I can tell you that that number is not the number that are on the ADU waiting list. That's about 165. I can tell you it's not the number of people on the voucher waiting list, which is about 1,200. My guess is it's somewhere between 10 and 20 times that 1,200 number. That's question number one. Question number two is, why are neither the private sector nor the not-for-profit sector providing the units that are necessary? For that, I'd like to reference you to the two roundtables that have already happened in the county with developers, affordable housing developers who have come here to tell you why they're not here. The first was on November 30th in 2009, and the second was on April 24th of 2012. You should really take a look at those notes. Thirdly, what can Loudoun learn from the jurisdictions, the other jurisdictions that are in Northern Virginia that are being successful at doing this? I recommend Arlington, City of Alexandria, and Fairfax. And why is it that Loudoun County is only getting one-tenth of the VHDA money that the rest of the jurisdictions are getting? And the last two questions to close, and if you agree, once we agree on the number, how should the county staff be organized to tackle the problem? And finally, what programs should we do? But let's do that after we know what we're after. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. Our next speaker is Joe Bowling, to be followed by James Bailey.
I'm Joe Bowling. I'm chairman of Middleburg Financial Corporation and a past chair of the CEO cabinet. And I am glad that this commission is together and look forward to its work. Both the Economic Development Commission and the CEO cabinet has noted this as a top article and a top need in the community for almost 8 years. During that time, we have had several economic analysis done, and my point was one I think was just made by Kim Hart, that I would start with an economic analysis of what the growth in the workforce and in the business community is going to be in the next 10 to 15 years and work backwards to our programs. That's going to show us what the need is, and it's going to show us what the gap is. Secondly, both the CEO cabinet and the Economic Development Commission have done work on this, and the PIC committee of that has material that I think would be helpful to this. I think the other one is to do a roundtable with the top employers in the area so that you know the situations that they face. And some of them who have said it publicly have said, if I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't be here. So this is a big issue and one that's going to take a lot of work, and it's not going to start where we are going forward. It's going to start with where we need to be and work backwards. So my best to you, and I look forward to working with you in this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bowling. Our next speaker is James Bailey, representing Loudoun Habitat, to be followed by Robin Hendrickson.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. I'm James Bailey. I'm with Loudoun Habitat for Humanity. I've been with Habitat for 8 years, and in that 8 years, I think I can't tell you how many discussions we've had about affordable housing and solutions and what are we going to do and what are the solutions to the problems that we all know exist. I completely agree with Kim. I guess one of the advantages I have at being one of the final speakers is I don't need to repeat everything that's already been told to you. I think we know what the problems are, and I had some prepared statements. I'm going to go off script, and I've decided I'm going to do a soft sell on a proposition that we've got coming before the full Board of Supervisors on Wednesday night. It's hard to believe, but more than a year ago, in October 2012, Loudoun Habitat submitted a certification application to be designated as a qualified nonprofit to purchase ADUs. We've been working patiently with ADWAB staff. Appreciate all of their help and all their work on that. And that issue is finally coming before the Board of Supervisors on Wednesday evening, and I'm hoping that the Board of Supervisors will unanimously approve that designation. If you were to do that, for the first time, Loudoun County would have a nonprofit partner designated to help address the ADU situation. Why do we want to see that application approved? Two reasons. Number one, the ability for Habitat to buy ADUs will help expand our footprint. It will help offer options to our partner families, and in a situation where land cost what it cost, when building cost what it cost in Loudoun County, the ability to be able to purchase an ADU and reposition it with a Habitat partner family would be advantageous to us and to the county. And I think the other major reason why we want to do this is we really want to do what we can to try to stem the loss of the ADUs from the program and go into market. We see that as an issue. We think that there's a nonprofit solution, and we want to be part of that solution. And I just want to say that I echo all the sentiments that have been expressed to you in terms of other concerns. I have some prepared statements that I'll make sure to get to your group that outlines a lot of boring solutions, but they're important solutions. They're things that we would like to see. For example, there are all kinds of technical things that the county can do. We've had discussions before about the ability to leverage different monies into the county through the CDBG program. There's a program called the CDBG Section 108 program that as far as I know, the county's never taken advantage of. We'd like to see that. We'd like to see the county get HUD home funding, which has never been brought into the county. There are resources out there we've never leveraged, and I want to work with the county to make that happen. And I have some ideas, and I'll share those. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. We look forward to getting those, and we're looking for all the solutions we can find. Our next speaker is Robin Hendrickson, to be followed by Rochelle Asher.
Good evening, everybody. I wanted to take this opportunity to first thank you all for having the ability for the public to come and speak. I am coming from the Western Loudoun area, and I have lived here since I was 9 years old. My husband and I have been married, and we have two children, one who is 18 and the other is 5. And we are currently living in an apartment complex in Purcellville, for which we are very cramped. It's such that we have to share a bedroom with our 5-year-old, and we make too much money to purchase a home. It's very disturbing to me to know that I live here, I work here. My husband is a police officer who has to drive to D.C. every day, and we are sharing a room with our kid. The reason why she doesn't share with her sister is because you all know how 18-year-olds can be. I work for a mortgage company, and I see it every day, that more and more people are moving out of the county into Clark and even Frederick counties, as well as West Virginia. There are many builders in the area who are building beautiful homes there, and it just really upsets me to know that I can't purchase a home for my kids and my family because of the income limitations. We make a decent living, but unfortunately, with the quality of life that has been developed here in Loudoun County. It's the number for the AMI, the area median income, is just too low, and I think it needs to be revisited. And like I said, there are people here in this county that would really like to purchase a home here where they can live and work and be near family, and at the same time still be able to own that place. So as part of my lobbying effect, I guess, I would strongly suggest or request that you all reconsider or amending the AMI. It's really important to not only myself, but plenty of other people in this room. And I think I speak for a lot of people who are in my position. We're kind of stuck in the middle. And we just want a nice place to live and not have to be cramped about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hendrickson. Our next speaker is Rochelle Asher, to be followed by Amanda Tenorio.
Thank you very much. I don't represent an organization. I just was very fortunate enough to be able to move into and purchase an ADU unit at One Loudoun this past August. And I have no complaints personally. I just wish that more people were able to do what I was able to do. And I find that, I mean, I found out about this completely by accident. I happen to work a second job. I work two jobs, and I happen to work a second job. And a client of mine mentioned that her sister had purchased an ADU unit. I had never heard of such a thing. I'd spent 3 years, my husband and I make below 50% of the median income in Loudoun County. I spent 3 years trying to buy even an apartment, a two-bedroom apartment, a condo, anything. I can just tell you that if you try to buy something in Loudoun County under $150,000, it's impossible, no matter how good your credit, no matter how stable. I've lived in the county for 20 years. I went to many realtors. I ended up having Allison Metzger as my realtor at Keller Williams. I know they've done a lot with the program, but either the realtors don't know that this exists, or they choose not to tell people about it because the commission is much lower for realtors who work with ADU. I don't know if they just don't tell people about it. I don't know if they don't know about it. But no realtor who we worked with ever mentioned it in 3 years of us trying to sign contracts and being outbidded by private investors who can pay cash. And, you know, like most people who make what I make, we could not put down anything more. In fact, the 5% was difficult for us. I know ADU doesn't take VHDA, so the 3% was, you know, out of the question for even us, even with ADU. But, I mean, I talk to people all the time about ADU everywhere I go, and, you know, I talk to them in the grocery store. I talk to them, you know, wherever I go to get my nails done, anything. Nobody knows about it. Nobody's heard about it. Everybody wants to know about it. I really broke my heart when the man from Loudoun Habitat spoke, and I had read in the paper that there were units that are being sold back. I know the county bought some units, but the fact that I was getting emails, so I know this doesn't solve the whole problem, and people have brought up really valid problems for all kinds of people who need help, but I know that there are many, many, many ADU units and people who could qualify, and they don't even know about it. And when I saw that units, you know, if they don't sell in 90 days, they go back, and they can sell at market value, it just broke my heart, because there's so many people who need this that I just think that we have to find a way to get the word out to people like myself, school teachers. I'm not a school teacher, but I'm just saying people who have, you know, lower incomes but could do this if they knew about it. So my first request is that you get to the realtors, that you get to everybody who could tell people about this. That's it.
Thank you, Ms. Asher. Our next speaker is Amanda Tenorio, to be followed by Michael Capretti.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing the general public to come and speak. I'm speaking for a group of people that are very near and dear to my heart, a group of people that unfortunately won't be here tonight. I'm talking about domestic violence victims. I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and I'll give you a very short rundown of my situation so you can see why these people are so near and dear to me. I went through a horrific relationship. My abuser is now serving 55 years in prison, and he has two more trials to go through. So you can see there was a lot of trauma for me and my children. And the first biggest issue for me and so many other victims are housing. That's number one. You can't get your finances back together. You can't get your mental health back together until you have housing. I needed somewhere to feel safe. A lot of shelters here are, and not just in Loudoun County, throughout the region, are 30 days, maybe 45, 90 if you're lucky. If you're a woman that's going for custody and you're going for protective orders and you have criminal trials and you have no work history and he sabotaged you and you have no money, how do you start in 30 to 90 days to pick your life back up to even get an apartment in your name? One of my first things, I think, is just saying you have to look not only at the issue, but what are the challenges for this woman? Why isn't she getting out of the relationship? So many people are so quick to say she needs to just leave, but we have to provide her with a place to go. I think transitional housings are an amazing opportunity. I went through one. I had 2 years to get my life back together. I went in with $57,000 in debt from the abuse that I went through. I have $63,000 in child support that's still owed to me that I'll never collect on it. 2 years in that program, I paid off about $30,000 of my debt. I raised my credit score over 100 points. I finished, I already had 2 bachelor's degrees, so I finished a lot of my counseling, things for my children that I needed. I'm now a Master of Social Work student. I was able to get student loans. I was able to get grants because of all of this. But the most important thing for me was that housing. It was not just safe housing, but it was affordable housing. And you need the time. These women need more than 90 days. They need something long-term. You focus on the housing. You get them into the workforce. You get them back into school. You're helping with their children, but you need more than 90 days to do that. So my suggestion is to have more transitional housing units designated to victims of domestic violence. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Tenorio. Our next speaker is Michael Capretti.
Good evening. My name is Michael Capretti. I'm speaking on behalf of Northern Virginia Building Industry Association, and I'd like to use my 3 minutes to talk about two things. One is I want you all to listen that there's not a lot of complaints tonight about the ADU program. A lot of the issues that have come up tonight are the 0 to 30 and the 70 to 100. So I would encourage you all to think outside the box. Kim is right. The number one item on the list is update the AMCOM study with some local Loudoun information. It's so important to have. Two is you need to move forward the Article 7, Chapter 14 changes that have already been done that need to get moved up and pushed through the board. Number three is you got to look at the trust fund money. And I'm going to talk in a minute about converting ADUs, but there's almost $15 million now in the housing trust fund. There are better places to use that money than having it sit in the bank. Number four is the nonprofit and the profit builders, you all need to talk to us. We are your partners in this. Kim does some fantastic things. Habitat does some fantastic things, and they have not been able to get in there. We need to figure out how to get them in there. And number five, you got to deal with density. The ADU program, when the county builds out, there's going to be no more units coming in the program. The program's supposed to be about bonus density to give units back. Fairfax has a sliding scale. Loudoun needs a sliding scale. Now I want to talk for a minute about the ADU program. The ADU program is not broken. It's misunderstood. And it has been a very fluid program over the last 10 or so years. And you need to understand some of the things that the ADU board has done to keep that program going forward. We intentionally set, or I say we, when I was on the ADU board, we intentionally set the price of units at $130,000 because we were finding that 68 to 70% of the AMI people that were on the list were who was buying the units, and we wanted to get that number down to more like 60 to 70 or 55 to 70. And we went through a resurgence where a lot of the units stayed in the program because we got the prices down. The builder prices on AD units haven't been adjusted for probably 10 years. You're using construction costs that are 10 years old. Then we ran into an overfinance issue where ADU participants found a loophole in the covenants to be able to overfinance units. They took the money, the units got foreclosed on, and the county ended up losing the units with no money. Something we couldn't control, but stepped up, changed the covenants, and we closed the loophole to overfinance. We had the sheriff come talk to us about getting sheriffs and first responders into the program. The ADU board eliminated overtime as a calculation in the salaries to help get people in the 70% range to get them in the program. And then, of course, we have foreclosures. And it's kind of interesting. Somebody mentioned it earlier. VHDA won't lend money on an ADU in Loudoun County. So somebody help me with that. This is what their mission is. We can't get a loan in Loudoun County from VHDA. And you know why that is? Because they don't want to be subject to the covenants. They don't want to take 90 days, push it back into the program to see if somebody on the list wants it to keep it affordable. They want the covenants to go away and be able to sell it. And unfortunately, through a Supreme Court ruling, the Jefferson case, as you all know, the covenants are now dropped at foreclosure, and there's no other opportunity to do this. Part of the what makes this program work from a builder perspective is there is a 90-day window to market these, and I acknowledge when that 90 days is up, they convert to market. But half the money goes to the county. And again, look at the trust fund money and let's put that to better use, because there's a lot of money sitting there to be able to use. Thank you. I went over.
Thank you, Mr. Capretti. Mr. Capretti was the last person signed up to speak tonight. Is there anybody else who would like to speak tonight?
Come on down, sir.
If you would please state your name and make your comments, and then fill out a speaker slip after you're done. Thank you.
My name is Dana Smith, and I'm here to complain about the ADU program. I feel the ADU program is for the upper middle class. I mean the lower middle class, but it's not for the poor people that makes under the limit that requires you to get an ADU program. Now, I'm 58 years old, and I've applied for ADU. They tell me my income is too low. Now, if the ADU program is for a certain class of people, then yes, I agree. But poor people cannot apply or even get a chance. Now, I applied for ADU, and everything went through, but they tell me my income too low. Now, what is the ADU program is about? Helping poor people or just helping people with middle range income? Or what is it all about? What is ADU here? I'm 58 years old and I'm homeless. Now, if I qualify legally, but my income is too low, what am I supposed to do for housing or anything like that? My question is, who is the ADU benefiting? People that makes more money than me, or people that really need housing? Because see, my next move is a shelter. But I qualify, and then they tell me I don't make enough money. Now where do the money, now who sets the money to how much you have to make in order to get ADU program, rental agreement, or even to buy a house? Now, I don't know why the ADU program has a standard where you need to make a certain amount of money in order to move into to find decent housing. Now, see, that's all I have to say. I just say that the ADU program has failed me as an individual, and I know people that's on Social Security, on disability, that need housing, and we don't make enough money to qualify. Now, who determines who qualify and who don't? Who set the standards for an example, say you need to make $20,000 a year to qualify. Now, who set that standard? It's only for people that make only $20,000 a year, or what about the people that don't make money? I work every day, and my income do not qualify me to make $20,000 a year. So see, I'm out. And I don't know why Loudoun County is not willing to help me find housing, because I work every day, I pay my taxes, Loudoun County, everything. I pay all my taxes. But I can't find a place to live because I don't make enough money. That's not my fault. Because y'all do not provide jobs or whatever that makes enough money for people to qualify for housing. Now, I'm sorry for my tone of voice, and I apologize, but I just want to get my point across, that y'all really not helping the people that really need it. Everybody that I have heard spoke, they making big money. They making money if they're overqualified, or, but what about the poor people that don't have the money that need housing? And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Now, where you want me to go?
Okay. Right over there, sir. Anybody else?
Good evening, Chairman Clancer, Supervisor Volpe. I appreciate appearing here. My name is Roy Barnett. I'm Group President of Van Meter Companies, charged for acquisition planning development. Many of you and many people see me here on the development side, but also don't realize that within our company, we manage 3,100 rental units throughout the metro area. Included in that portfolio is over 500 rent control units in the DC area and several units, including about 60 affordable dwelling units in Fairfax and Loudoun County. I would like to say, when we talk about is there a need, I think there's enough evidence, and we've all discussed this over the years, there is a need for affordable dwelling units. The real key is how do you provide that? How do you provide it efficiently and effectively? And I want to say that one of the things to look at, that I would ask to look at, and one of the bigger items I hear in the management side of our business, is the ease of participation between Loudoun County and Fairfax. And you've heard, some of you have heard me say this. You, when you talk about, someone earlier said about, we don't know about this eligibility, how do you know if this is even available? When you're told, and your leasing staff is told, that you cannot rent an ADU, they must come through Loudoun County Office of Housing. You can't have a tenant walk in on a Saturday morning in your rental office in Loudoun County and rent a unit that day if they meet the income qualifications, even though Chapter 1450 of your ordinance states that it's the landlord's responsibility to verify income of every tenant on initial and renewal. So different reporting styles in different jurisdictions, but we, you know, if someone comes into Fairfax and one of our projects in the Fairfax County area, we can rent that day. We do reporting on monthly and annual basis. I think it makes it much easier, at least on the rental side, and I'm sure there's some parallel you can take over to the for sale side. I would also ask, we've heard about how do you provide affordable dwelling units. I think we should have pooling. Pooling means that, in my terminology, would mean that we can provide units. If we're not providing them on-site, we can provide them off-site. Your ordinance currently doesn't allow that. As you all know, or many of you know, that I had a project with all single families. We ended up paying cash in lieu of providing affordable dwelling units. I initially started off offering to provide units on an off-site location. The ordinance doesn't allow it, so therefore it couldn't be approved. I think we should consider that in the ordinance. I also think we should look at the types of units are being provided. Instead of being mandated that if you have townhouse or single family development, that your ADUs must, I'm sorry, in a single family development, your ADUs must be singles or towns. I think that, in my experience, is multifamily units are much, much better, much more effective for providing that housing and much longer term. If you look at how a rental unit, we covet in 15 years that it's going to remain the rental program. I think on the rental side, and I know my time's out, is looking at the windows of participation. We heard this earlier as well. Then in your rental side, it's 30 to 50%. For sales side, it's 30 to 70%. Why the difference? If somebody's renting a unit, needs a house, when they make 51% of median income, do they have to move out? By the current ordinance, it's yes. So why not have tiered? Why not have 30 to 50, 50 to 70, have so many units within each tier? We do this in a jurisdiction where we manage the tiers, manage how many units are there and how they're managed. So I think just looking at the ability to provide the units, the building community, we know that it's part of any program. It's just how do you do it, and that's some of the ideas. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Yes, ma'am. Come on down.
I I'm Judy Hines, Vice President of Friends of Loudoun Mental Health, and I'm proud and impressed to be among this group that cares so much about housing for people in need in Loudoun County. And also proud of the program since 1993, I think it was, that we have been in partnership with Loudoun County Mental Health Services, because we work with them to provide rent supplement, monthly rent supplement, for people who have been debilitated by serious mental illness, have been in treatment, have gotten good treatment from the county, another thing of which I'm proud, and brought their cases brought to us for rent supplement so that they won't be paying, and the rent supplement is to share an apartment with another individual while they're in recovery, while they're becoming independent and active residents, once again, of Loudoun County, and we pay $350. They pay as much as they can of the SSI benefits they have, and the Loudoun County sometimes pays more and sometimes a little less for a period of 6 months or more so that they can get their feet on the ground, because there's nothing more important than a roof over your head for recovery from mental illness. And this compares with anything up to $19,000 a month for a psychiatric hospital, and a little less than that, somewhat less than that than for being in the jail, which so too many people with mental illness are, and or in a nightly hotel room. So, as I say, I'm pleased to be among these people who are paying attention to this, and I'd like you to think about people with mental illness. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hahn. If you could please sign a speaker slip. Thank you. And did I see somebody else that wanted to speak? Please come on down.
Good evening. My name is Ashley Reed. I am a lifelong resident of Loudoun County. And I agree with Mr. Smith. I think he's since left, but I agree with him. I think Loudoun County needs to do more for Loudoun's working poor. I live here. I've lived here forever. I work here. I work for the county. I've worked for the county for 7 years. And I'm a family of five, and we live in a two-bedroom apartment. I think more needs to be done. Like he said, I pay my taxes here. My children go to school here. I don't want to move. I have a son with special needs. Loudoun County is the greatest place for him to be. There's not a better school system I would want to take him to. I don't want to move. But it's getting to the point where I can't afford to stay. With housing costs, I mean, when you're raising three children and they grow, they eat $1 million worth of food a month. How can you pay for food or pay for housing when they're eating you out of a house and home? So I just need to say something else needs to be done for those of us who live here, who work here, who don't make 30% of the median income. And that's all I'd like to say. And thank you for taking the time to hear me tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reed. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak? Okay. So are you filling out a speaker slip and coming up here? Okay. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak this evening? Please, come on down, sir.
Good evening, folks. Thank you so much. First, my name is Frank Lombardi. I chair the Loudoun County Disability Services Board. I also serve at the state level with the Disability Commission. Was approved by the Senate for a two-year run. Just finished my first year, and I'm ready to volunteer for two more, even though I have one to go. I want to thank you all very, very much for taking this on. But please, as several of the folks have said here, this is not just about accessible or about affordable housing, it's also about accessible. They kind of go hand in hand. And I think that really needs to be part of your thought process. It's not just about meeting the ADA numbers, maybe it's about exceeding them. This is a very vibrant community with upwards to 20,000 people with disabilities per census. And when you take the 20,000 potential individuals with disabilities and then maybe add a couple of folks for family, you're talking 50, 60,000 people affected by disabilities who are having a very, very tough time in most cases affording to live and stay and contribute in this county. It's a wonderful county. I've been here for 30 years. I'm a Philadelphia transplant, so still love the Eagles, sorry. But but quite honestly, we're getting a lot of feedback, and a lot of our membership with Disability Services Board are talking about just that right now, about housing, about accessible housing, affordable housing, and how that ties into transportation. It's one big ball. I mean, we really do have to work together, not just this task force, but I think there needs to be some cross-pollination, if there isn't, that I'm aware of, in relation to some of the other task forces to address just those issues, because they go hand in hand. This really is a robust community. I believe in it. That's why I put so many hours in trying to do the right thing, just like you guys do, to try to make it right. I'll close with this, if I may. Policies, procedures, ordinances, rules, laws, they all have to be there. But the bottom line is that what we're talking about here are people, human beings, families, trying to make it, just trying to live, trying to survive, who want to contribute and make this county even greater than it is. That is something that we cannot lose sight of. With all the political ins and outs that go on in any community, it still comes down to the fact that we're all human beings and we have to look out for each other. So please keep that, at your baseline. It's about people. And I think that kind of makes some of your decisions a little easier and actually a little more to heart. So thank you. I appreciate your time. And thank you for all you do for our community. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Lombardi. Is there anybody else?
Hi, good evening. I just wanted to say thank you for allowing the public to come in and mention their opinions on this very important matter. And I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Deborah Withnell. I have been in the ADU rental program for about 4 years. I truly appreciate the opportunities afforded to me because I am single and living by myself. I work and live in Loudoun County, and I have worked and lived in Loudoun County all my life. This is the only way that I am able to afford to live on my own. My parents also live in Loudoun County, but I have three younger brothers who still live at home, and so there's no space. And so I can agree with the lady who said that people or kids eat their parents out of house and home, having three younger brothers. But during this year, I have reached the limit of the income for the rental units, so I make too much to be able to stay in my apartment. And I have put in my application for the housing program to make a purchase. But with my income only being over what the limit is for the rental, I am very concerned about what I am able to afford on my own for a purchase program. And also, I was trying to get into the program since April, and I was only able to go to the intake appointment in October. So with only having 3 days out of an entire month being available for the intake appointment, that's very concerning. Everybody who wants to get into the program works as much as they can to make as much as they can, and so it's just very hard to get into the program when you even know about it. So thank you again.
Thank you, Ms. Withnell. Is there anybody else here who would like to speak? Okay, thank you all very much for your input tonight. We appreciate it. We'll have a little discussion here, but before we do, I want to let everybody know that this group will be meeting the, I think it's first and third Monday of every month into January. Our meetings are open to the public. If you'd like to follow up with us, attend, keep an eye on us, you are more than welcome to attend. And those of you who did mention tonight that you had a little more than 3 minutes worth of stuff to say, please follow up with us. The staff will distribute everything that you send in to every member of the task force, and we look forward to hearing from you. Members, any follow-up questions or comments before we move on? No? Okay. And thank you, then. Eileen, do we have anything that we have to pass out to members of the group?
I have to make some copies, and I'll distribute them.
You want to just do it by email, and we can pick it up 2 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for being here this evening, and we will see you in 2 weeks.